And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, July the 7th. No, the 11th. I did not update the date.
I know it's been a while, but still.
I got all the other updates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the fact that it's our 20th season and it's episode 21, that is correct.
Yeah.
I changed the number to make sure we knew it was episode 856 in total.
Yep.
So I got all that. I just never changed the date.
Well, you got what was important. That's what matters.
That's the point.
Yep.
That is the point. Got to get what's important. So anyway, if you would like to get in touch with us, I wouldn't even worry about it because we're going to be talking about just bad news all day. We are on Discord, and if you want to join us on Discord, well, there it is for you. Go right ahead. You can find our Discord by going to our website, ingamechat.net. Go all the way to the bottom. You'll find all the links to get in touch with us, whether it be through, you know, email or Facebook or Twitter and Blue Sky and whatever else. Twitch, our link to Twitch is there, and our link to our Discord is there as well that you can join in and talk with other listeners and talk with us as well. Of course, like I said, we're on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in Game Chat. You'll be able to find us there. You can watch live while we broadcast. Lethal Migraine's in there. Hey, Lethal. And Brian, of course, hanging out and reminding me to do the clapboard, which I did. And yeah. Man, okay. We'll get to what we played if we get to it. Because we might as well just jump right into the news. I almost made a decision to come back and do a show last Saturday. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah. But within that time, again, it feels like the last episode we did was bad news. GTA was going all digital and being, you know, what, 78, was 80 bucks, 90 bucks? I can't remember.
80 bucks for the trial edition and 100 bucks for the full
edition. Right, for the full
edition. Despite the names that they gave it.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was that. There was the situation at Bungie with the layoffs that we were talking about. There was the Steam. There was the Steam Machine release that was, you know, massively expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some other stuff in there. It was all bad news. It was all bad news.
It's been a bad month.
Dude, it's been a bad year. The entire year, we have barely escaped the situation that we've been in. Starting, of course, with the RAM prices going up. Mm-hmm. Then you know, everything going on with Iran and the shipping and the fuel. And so things being more expensive and that's a up and down situation, but the RAM situation is not an up and down situation. The computer component situation is not an up and down situation. That is a completely up situation in terms of pricing, and it's spreading now to all sorts of different things. So, I mean, it has been bad news all year long, as well as the amount of layoffs that we've had. Last year, 2025, the total amount of job losses in the gaming industry was in the 5,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 and something, or an estimated thing of like 5,000 people lost their jobs last year in the video game world. We are sitting nearly halfway through the year. I think we're close to halfway through the year. I think maybe this is the week. No.
Close enough.
Anyway, yeah, we're very close to being halfway through the year. And we are already like around 1,000 away from hitting that mark for 2026.
And we still believe that it's still going to get worse as time goes by.
Oh, yeah. No. It absolutely. This latest round as well. And I don't have the – I can get you the figures because I keep them saved on my gaming layoffs. Let me see where we're at. Oh, wow. We overshot. Never mind. Oh, my God. Let me check another source that I use. Um, 2025 estimated total was 5,300 people in 2025 lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently, and this is massive. What I did, let me go back from I don't think I want to go to my dashboard. I want to just go to Yeah, I know. I just want to go to ingamechat.net, please. I don't want to log in. I just want to go to my website. I don't need to log in. I'm not doing it. I want to get to that number that I'd posted. 2 weeks ago, we... No, there we go. There were 4,658. 2 weeks ago. We had 4,658 people had lost their job since January 1st of this year.
For 2026, yeah.
Yeah. That number currently stands at 8,312. We doubled the number. Almost. Very closely doubled the number.
Let's see.
In 2 weeks.
Let's see. Over 8,000 jobs have been globally lost across 90 companies.
Yeah.
The biggest one being in early July when Microsoft Xbox Division cut 3,200 roles.
Yeah, I got that number right here. Yeah, here's the website I'm using, and I'm going to put this in our Twitch chat. I mean, it's very simple. It's gaminglayoffs.com. Very, very simple for you to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Unique companies affected in 26, 86 companies. Studios closed in 2026, 23 studios have closed. We are 136% above this same point from last year.
Mm-hmm.
8,000 people. Which, that's odd. Hang on. Interesting. 2024, the all-time peak, we lost 14,900 people in 2024. I say we lost. That many people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
Almost 15,000 people lost their jobs in 2024. I don't remember what happened in 24. I don't remember talking as much about those layoffs in 24.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that was massive. So yeah, we're not quite there. We're not quite to 14,000. So yeah. So yeah, it's just been grim news the entire year, and it's only going to get worse. And again, we want to remind you that if you're looking to buy something right now, as far as, you know, computer components or a new PlayStation or a new Xbox or anything like that, right now is the best time to do it. I say that because the prices are not going to go lower.
Better sooner than later, folks.
Now, if you're buying secondhand, used, that sort of thing, whatever, that does not apply to this. But if you're buying new, now's the time to do it. Not tomorrow. It should have been yesterday or the day before or a week ago, whatever the case may be. But you can't really think about that in terms of the past because you can't fix that. If you're going to be getting one, get it. If you're looking at Christmas thinking, I'll save it for a deal on Christmas, you know, in November, don't. Because the price that you will pay will be much more than you would pay right now come November or whenever you decide to do it. That is if you're able to find them on the shelves. Not saying that they're going to be going because, you know, everybody wants one. I'm saying that the ability for them to produce more is going to get more difficult because the prices are going to go up because the RAM costs what it costs. It's a whole trickle-down type thing, you know? One little chain in the link causes the rest of it to just be...
off.
Yeah, it flows downwards.
Yeah.
You know, your prices to build something, the components of the parts that you're using to build this machine with costs more and more and more, and they keep going up. So, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know where the next Xbox sits, the Helix, which is what it's called, Project Helix. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they sit in that right now as far as, oh, no, we finally, you know, we're ready. We just haven't started mass producing yet because we haven't settled on a price or whatever. In other words, I don't know where they're at in the stage of production on these machines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive that no developers out there have dev kits yet to work on these machines. So
yeah.
I say that, but I'm almost positive that's the case. And then the PlayStation 6, again, I don't know where we are in production on that just yet. I do know the last I read was that currently it was like $900 to build the PlayStation 6, or at least the parts that are being sourced.
Yeah.
$900. That does not count like, hey, we're going to put it together now and assemble it. And
the cost of assembly, distribution,
all that other good stuff. Yeah. Everything that adds into the price has not been added into it yet. $900 is base. And this will be likely a year that they do not sell these things at a loss. I don't necessarily know that they'll sell them at a break-even price or, you know, a little bit of profit. But I just don't see... Normally, when you sell consoles, you sell them at a loss. Normally, when you release a new console, you are biting whatever how much, you know... I it's not a big figure that I know of. Mm-hmm. But they take a loss on it, whatever it is. They're losing out on 10, 50 bucks, something. I don't know. I don't know what the number is.
Been that way for a while, though. Yeah.
Always been that way.
Yeah.
Because the games that you would buy for them would make up for those losses.
Right.
Because your companies were also self-publishing. And they would get a cut of that, too. If you buy an Xbox game, especially digitally, by the way, when you were buying things off of Xbox Live Arcade way back in the 360 days, the developers were getting a chunk of that, but Xbox took a cut as well. Like anything you buy from our store, we get, you know, some money out of that.
Mm-hmm.
They would also get it, of course, if they self-published, depending on what they published. For Xbox, it was Halo. And for the very first Xbox, it was Halo. And that was fine. They were self-publishing it, so they got, you know, 100% of the profits off of it. For the Xbox 360, they released, I know as a launch title, they had Cameo, which was Rare, which was owned by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
As a launch title. There were a couple of other launch titles for the 360 that I can't remember. I know Fight Night was one of them. That was EA. But again, self-publishing, so they made money off of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your game is. Like for Xbox 360, it wasn't Cameo that was driving sales. I don't remember what the big title was for 360. I want to say there was a Soul Calibur game that was released on launch of 360. There was Cameo. There was, you know, it might have been what's that racing game?
Ridge Racer?
No. This was Microsoft's deal. This was pre Forza.
Need for Speed?
No. That's EA.
Hmm.
It's not Midnight Club. Project Gotham Racing, I think.
Okay.
Was it Project Gotham Racing?
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Yep. There it is. There he is. Lethal Migraine got it.
Yep.
Project Gotham Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and so maybe that was the big draw. I don't remember what the big draw for the 360 was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't remember what their Sonic was or their Mario or whatever it was that was like, here's
their signature title that would move systems.
Well, you know what they used to call them? They call them killer apps. But those, I've not heard people call it. I haven't heard that phrase in a while. But yeah, for Sony, I don't remember the PlayStation because I didn't buy a PlayStation.
Neither did I. I didn't buy it at launch. I mean, there were, by the time I bought it, there were so many titles to pick up.
Yeah.
Like I've always said, there's no point in me personally buying a console until I see what your library's stacking up to be.
Oh, so, I remember. Wait a second. I remember Xbox 360. I think that was Gears of War.
Okay. The original Gears of War.
The very first Gears of War was 360, I believe.
Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was. I think that, or it came out not too long afterwards. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember if it was a launch title or not, but Gears of War was big, the very first one there. Anyway, point being is that they're not self-publishing as much anymore to release something as they launch a console for you to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
They're just grateful enough that you bought their console.
I just did the look up right quick.
Day
one lineup featured major titles for the Xbox 360, Call of Duty 2. Need for Speed, Most Wanted, Project Gotham Racing 3, Perfect Dark Zero, and Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion.
That's right. Morrowind, Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion. Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
Dang, I forgot about that. Elder Scrolls was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick it up?
I didn't. Yeah, I think I rented it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there was not a game that was not a genre that I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big release. It was a big release for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge, like, I gotta play this game. This is my, you know, just like Elder Scrolls has always been whenever they release a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I didn't even get out of the first, like, area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you start in a dungeon and you have to kind of fight your way out, and I never made it out of the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, the outside world, and then, like, you know, now it's open world, go do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
That was a concept for me that was not something I was necessarily used to in that type of game. GTA, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was at that point, I think we had GTA 3 at that point, maybe.
Mm. See, in 05? See.
I'm looking at, mm-hmm, Lethal Migraine. You gave us a list of what was out there. King Kong, I remember that. Need for Speed, yeah, Perfect Dark Zero, probably. Project Gotham Racing, Quake 4, Ridge Racer, Tetris, Tiger Woods, and Tony Hawk.
This is Grand Theft Auto 3 was like 2001, and then later on 2002 for PC.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I had played an open world game before.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was playing Oblivion, I never made it out into that open world. And I don't know what I would have done in a medieval setting where it's not as, like, let me hop in my car and drive around the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was with GTA, you know? Let me steal this dude's horse and hop around and go around the city. I don't know. It just, mm-hmm, it was not there for me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. My buddy Ben, though, God, he loved that game. Yeah, he loved that game so much, The Elder Scrolls 4, whatever it was. Was it Oblivion?
Oblivion,
yeah. Wait, is that 4 or is that 3?
That was 4.
4, okay. Because then it was 5 with Skyrim, which is the only thing we've got. Which Elder Scrolls 6 is still, what, I think they said something like 2 or 3 years away. That game is 2 or 3 years still away. And it's been like 6 years now since it was announced. It's taking its time, which is one of the worries, because if they keep having layoffs like this, they're going to eventually get rid of a team that works on this thing.
Yeah. Keep getting pushed back or flat out canceled.
Yeah, I know.
Or it'll show up on Kickstarter or something.
I doubt it. It'll just be canceled. I don't think they'll turn to Kickstarter on that if that's the case. But honestly, I don't think that's a game they've canceled. That is a game that they know can sell consoles. That is a game that they know can sell games, sell consoles, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The question that'll be for that will be, will Microsoft keep it to themselves or will they multi-platform it? Will Sony get a copy of it later on, same day of release? What will happen there? Because again, you make it available on your system specifically, then people will buy your system to play that game. Usually we're going to be in some uncharted waters here, man,
mm-hmm,
to know what the public's going to do with their money.
Mm-hmm.
Like we haven't been in this area before. There have been some specific consoles, some way out there, in a completely different lane type of consoles that have sold for an absorbent amount of money at the time it was released.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, 3DO. That was like a $600 machine, mm-hmm, in what, the mid 90s?
Yeah.
I was thinking
more along the lines of the Neo Geo.
That too.
That was.
Yeah. That too. But even then, we had not crossed the four-digit, you know,
yeah,
the four-digit marker
yeah,
there.
The four-figure price.
Yeah,
tag.
Yeah, yeah. We hadn't hit that. We were still in the three digits. We were expensive, but, you know, it was well, then I'm just not buying that console.
Yeah.
Plus, there wasn't a lot of support behind the Neo Geo and the 3DO and that sort of thing. I mean, it had their titles.
Yeah.
But it not enough that ever felt like it was warranted the price of the machine itself.
Let's see. The Panasonic 3DO was released on October 4th, 93 for $700.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, my point still stands.
Let's see. The high introductory cost equivalent to about $1,600 in today's time. Yeah.
And watch the prices of the consoles that we get whenever they get around to releasing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the equivalent of buying a 3DO back in 1991?
93.
Three?
Okay. Yeah, released in 93.
Dude, I mean, like I said, we're in uncharted territory as far as what kind of numbers we'll see off of a console that sells for four-digit figures.
Yeah, because you just said that the companies weren't, not ready, selling at a loss.
Right.
Is that an option anymore?
But I don't know.
What they did, we don't know, but yeah.
I imagine it still is an option for them, but at the same time, given everything that's happened... with the market and with the components and everything else that's going on, with the people they keep cutting off, you know, the people they keep letting go, mm-hmm. the losses they keep taking in game sales and otherwise, I don't know if they sell at a loss. I don't know if they sell at a profit either, but I don't know. Maybe they don't sell as much of a loss as they normally do, but it's mm-hmm. still maybe a loss, but I don't know. Because I don't know where that puts the price. Because at some point you're like, man, what's... They just spent $1,300. What's another 50? You know, what is another $50 when you've spent $1,300 or whatever this price is going to be? What's another 50 if that's what you're losing out on?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I never under. You probably could go, and maybe we will. Maybe we'll look this up during the break to see what previous consoles were sold at as a loss. Like, what was the loss?
Mm-hmm.
You know. For every console they sold, they lost, what, $50, $100? Like, maybe we'll look that up just to see, just to get an idea. Lethal Migraine says, no chance I pay $1,000 for a console. It's not like there's a whole lot of room for improvement, and paying for lousy AI is of no interest. I know, man. I think, regardless of your reasoning, I think there's a lot of people who are like, I can't do $1,000+ for a console, much less two of them. If you're trying to do the Xbox and the PlayStation, there's also the question of, and we won't know this until it gets closer to that time. There's also the question of subsidizing the console, offering contracts or financing or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, payment plans they were offering.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't doubt that they won't go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of soften the blow of whatever price that console is going to end up when it finally makes it. Because right now, while we say the prices are $900 for just the parts to build the PlayStation 6, and let's just assume it's $900 for the parts to build the Xbox as well, the next Xbox. That's $900 right now. And so I don't know if they have secured all the parts to make what they need to make out of it. My guess is no, they haven't. My guess is they've secured the parts to make their prototype or their whatever the thing is called that is like, here's the first, you know, kit that we put together for what would become the PlayStation 6, you know?
What, prototype?
Yeah, prototype, whatever. I'm not sure, you know? But here it is. Here's this one. By the time they get around to... settling it either on form factor or what they've decided to go with, by the time they've decided that, yeah, here it is, let's send it to print, so, you know, whatever, I'm using the wrong terminology, but let's send it to do mass production. What are the component prices at that point? Right now they're $900, but they're only going to go up. So where will they be once
it hits 1,100?
Once they hit the situation of, like, now we need to start making these things in mass. To sell to the public.
Mm-hmm.
What are the prices of the components at that point? Right now they're $900. By then, whenever that is, and I don't know how far away that is, what's it going to be? Or have they secured a contract where it's like, this is how much it's going to be, regardless of what happens? This is, which I don't think they will. I don't think there's anybody in their right business mind
who's going
to
honor that
to
contract,
say that
yeah.
No, because they know which way the things are going. And for them, who are selling the RAM, it's going up. And for everybody else, that's the same thing. Your prices are going up. Thar says it's going to be $1,500 in Canada. The Helix better still have Steam and all on it. Otherwise, we'll keep playing on the Series X.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was $1,500 here in the States.
Yeah, I know. Whatever it is here, it'll be more somewhere else. Yeah. Canada, Australia's got horrible game prices. Which I imagine so are the consoles themselves. It's going to be bad. So this is why we tell you now that if you are looking to buy anything, you want to buy a Steam Deck, you want to buy a Steam Machine, I would advise against buying a Steam Machine.
Update your PC.
Yeah. You want to update your PC. Any kind of electronics like this that you're looking to buy, now is the time to buy it. The prices are not going to come down. They are only going to go up and further. We just had the Xbox increase. PlayStation increased earlier this year. PlayStation likely will increase again before the year is out. Xbox is likely to increase again before the year is out. In fact, a lot of these are likely to increase by the next time they got to do another production run on the systems themselves. Because they're going to have to buy the parts again, which means they're going to go up. I mean, we already just did that now. The reason these prices are going up is because we've sold through the product that was on the shelves, and now they got to make more. Except the prices are higher this time to make those again. So that's why you've got a $700 machine. You know, the guys on the morning show here, they let me talk gaming a little bit because it was video game day or International Video Game Day or something this past week. I was like, oh, tell us about video games. And I was like, video games are horrible right now. I was like, it is bad in the business right now. And I started going over all this stuff. It really surprised them because obviously they don't listen on to the show on Saturdays. But just weren't aware of just how bad things are. Which is interesting because this situation with AI is affecting our hobby currently. But it is going to trickle into either your hobbies or your necessities or whatever the case may be for the general public who are not gamers and have nothing to do with gaming. But if you've got any type of electronics almost anywhere in your house, you have memory in there. Your car has it, so your car price is going to go up. Apple's going to do their thing in September. With their new iPhones or whatever, just like they always do. I don't know what we're going to see in prices then.
Too much.
I mean, it's always gone, it's always gone up. A little bit like, hey, you know what? They were actually not necessarily always gone up. Sometimes they've stayed the same price, but they've dropped the prices of their previous models. But they have already warned us ahead of time. In fact, they've raised the prices on a lot. Apple has, specifically Apple, has raised the prices on a lot of their electronic, all of their stuff.
Yeah.
With the exception of the phone. They haven't actually messed around with the phone too much. But I know the laptops, the Apple TV box, I think the watches, the iPads and all this other stuff, those have all gone up. And our little talkie device is about to do the same thing in September. Be interesting to see what that price is going to be because that takes memory, and memory costs a lot of money now. Like I said, it is going to trickle into everything else. You want that really fancy refrigerator? It's probably got RAM in it. I'm not kidding you.
No. Look, anything that's got that touchscreen on it, like some refrigerators I've seen, I was like, too much tech in that thing. I just need you to keep it cold.
To keep it cold. Yeah, I don't need the tech. There's some that have Wi-Fi built in. It's just anything that uses memory is going to cost a lot of money. It's going to continue to grow. So I'd say that's your bad news, and we could move on from there, but we actually haven't even jumped into the bad news. Because the original thing that I started saying before I got off on a tangent here was that I was going to come in last week once Sony announced what they had planned to do come 2028. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty big deal. Maybe we should go in and talk about it. And I thought, well, no, we'll catch it next show. And of course, then we got more to talk about here. So, Anyway, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the situation with Sony. We're going to talk about the situation at Microsoft that took place this week. Sony took place last week. I say this past week and the week before for those. You can get to all of it. It's all bad. Ain't none of it good. So just hang tight and we'll get through it together, right? We are in the month of October of 2025 for our video game music sections that we're using. And we're coming upon, well, what we've got here is a track from the Recreation game. The one that was supposed to be like, hey, remember Burnout? You're going to have so much fun because this is kind of like Burnout. And it absolutely was not. Failed in almost every single way. Have not really seen anything good about it. People have said, you know, it's got some positives, but it just overall missed the entire mark. Which, at the time, I was very sad about, but taking a look at Star Wars Galactic Racer, which is Criterion made under some other name, looks like it'll fill that void, finally, that we have been lacking so much. Went on a rabbit hole of Burnout stuff recently, and I miss it so much. I miss it so much. There's a thing. I know I'm going off on a tangent again. Every 4th of July in Alaska, they run cars off of a massive cliff. Old beat up cars. They run them off. They somehow set them to drive straight and just full gas, nobody in them, and they drive them off a cliff. A massive cliff. With a bunch of people down at the bottom watching the cars fall and crash and everything else. Mm-hmm. And watching that, I was just like, oh, God, I miss Burnout. I miss Burnout so much. Anyway, now I'm choking. Here's music from Recreation. It's called Rage Riot. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back into In-Game Chat. This is music from Outer Worlds 2. Hope Continues is the name of the track. Welcome back in. You know, we got 15 minutes. And there's a lot to hit on the PlayStation and the Sony. So, I'm going to hit some of these other news articles here before we go to the top of the hour. See what else we have. Star Wars Eclipse, the game from Quantic Dream, they have warned that that is in danger of cancellation because there will be some employers, developers actually, going on strike with Quantic Dream. And so, you know, there won't be anybody there to kind of build the game. So it's a possibility that that game gets canceled. That game's been announced for a while, but we've known nothing about it since. Kind of forgot it was even coming. Companies warn that RAM prices will keep spiking at least through 2028. So again, that goes back to what we said. You want something? You should get it now. All right. Get it as soon as you can. Put it that way.
Yeah.
If you can get it now, great. If you need to wait and get it later, well, that's fine too. But just understand those prices are going to go up again. But the fact that this is going to be going on through 2028 is just ridiculous. I don't hear a lot of people talking. I don't hear a lot of people outside of gaming talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the guys on the morning show mentioned that they didn't know.
Yeah, I was about to say that, like the folks on the morning show, most of the public don't even know.
They're
about
not really
it, or
even
think
aware.
About it. Or
yeah.
It's not something that's important to them because they don't directly buy RAM or mm-hmm. think about its impact on their lives.
They'll see that when they go to buy the next time they go to buy a computer, whether it be a laptop, a pre-built.
There might see something on Christmas if they try to buy something on Christmas. Some technology for
any of that
their kids or anything like
it's
that.
It's going to go that way.
Yeah.
God, it's going to be so bad. Sony signals that it is not prepared to sell the PlayStation 6 at a significant loss. What do they say? No. In 2021, during the Epic versus Apple trial, Microsoft confirmed it had never made a penny from console sales. And in 2022, we learned the company was losing $200 per Xbox. This is before the current memory and storage cost crisis that's seen all consoles become dramatically more expensive. During recent shareholder questions about the pricing strategy around the PlayStation 6, Sony said, quoting, "As a principle, we do not intend to sell hardware at significant losses." That says we'll sell at a loss, just not a significant loss, is what that's telling me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that we're not going to sell them at a loss completely, just a significant loss. That's
defined significant.
Exactly. That is objective.
Yeah.
Or subjective. Rumors have soared for a lot that the PS6 could see a 2027 release, making it 7 years on from the PS5 launch. I don't think we'll see it in 2027.
We'll see a pushback.
I don't necessarily know about a pushback. I was doing that thing again. I don't necessarily know about it being a pushback as much as it is a, well, they haven't announced anything.
Mm-mm, no.
So I just don't think we'll see it in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of this, I thought they were kind of waiting to see if the RAM thing would kind of settle down. And now they've kind of realized it's not, it's going to keep going up. Well, yeah. When do we need to work on this machine?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then when you do, when do we need to look into actually getting this out there?
Yeah.
And at what price are we going to put it on? Steam Machine kind of broke the door a little bit for what they were offering at, what, $1,500? But that's not what these are, and I don't know that, you know. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they plan for 2027 and then something happens down the line that makes them want to rethink things, especially if prices, heck, you said it was going to be spiking again all through this year. So
yeah,
someone's going to crunch the numbers and come up with something, say maybe we need to hold off on making things right now or rush the thing and try to get it out there as soon as.
These are truly unprecedented times where chip and RAM makers are operating like a cartel, with the vast majority of tech being scooped up by the impossibly indebted AI companies, chasing one another in a death race of mutual destruction. Even a company the size of Sony cannot sensibly operate within this lunacy. And given the still strong sales of the PS5, albeit having taken a bit of a big dip, and the breathtaking graphics it is still capable of generating, it would seem crazy to me to try to launch a PS6 into the middle of it all, surely waiting until 2028 is the only sensible option. That was this article from Kotaku. So yeah, I'm leaning more towards 28. And I guess I'll tell you why. Because that's the date that they picked to stop making physical discs. As of January 2028, Sony will cease production on making discs, which means it is unlikely your next console will come with a disc drive.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's very likely, I don't know, It's likely your next console will not have a disk drive. It'll be an all-digital type console.
Yep.
It'll be a console without any slots on it or any trays or anything like that. It'll just be connected to the internet so you can download the games to your hard drive, which will be small. big game size, small hard size, hard disk drive size. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's going to go.
Small storage.
Yeah.
Big game, small storage.
That is most likely the case, but... The other thing that points to, we're going to jump into the Sony stuff when we come. The other thing that points to is that Sony Santa Monica, Sony Studio Santa Monica, who are making that, it's not a sequel to God of War. It's that side quest, whatever you want to call it.
Side story.
Yeah. I'm not sure what we're kind of labeling that as, but that other God of War that deals with Kratos' wife.
Yeah. Lafay.
Yeah. That, they said, they issued a statement saying that that game will launch on disc and digital, which means it's coming out before 2028.
Okay.
We already know it's a PlayStation 5 game.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking is that 6 won't hit until 2028. It'll be completely discless. And then there will be an option to fix that, by the way. It won't be like they have now, which is you can buy an all-digital system and you can buy an add-on disk drive if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be a thing. It just won't.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction. What else do we have? The CEO of the Dark Pictures and until the Supermassive Games, that guy. He stepped down. What else? Developers at Ubisoft have gone on strike in response to the publisher's latest round of layoffs. They released Assassin's Creed, the Black Flag, the remake.
That resynced.
Yeah. It released this week.
I heard it was having issues. Performance issues, I mean.
It possibly.
Yeah.
I know as far as sales, it is the best that they have ever seen.
Okay.
It is the best debut any Assassin's Creed game has ever had, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know about in sales, but I know as far as people playing it, that sort of thing, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sitting at the best of the review side of things. If you look at the reviews on Steam,
yeah,
they're kind of giving it some crap, and I think it's because of the DLC or some kind of monetary system thing that they put in. Yeah.
Monetization
system, yeah. Whatever it is. I'm not sure, but...
Well, that's going on with EA as well, what they did with college football.
They reversed.
They reversed it.
They did.
Okay.
I don't have it in here, but they absolutely reversed it.
Yeah.
They said something, you know, offhandish afterwards about like, fine, we'll remove it, you babies, or whatever. They didn't actually call you babies, but...
The gist of, yeah, but if anyone, not familiar with it, EA Sports decided to put microtransactions into the single-player aspect of the of the game itself. Usually when they have the sports game, it's usually for online play, like build your team, buy this, buy that, and you'll improve the stats and everything like that.
Right.
But they started including it into the single player aspect of the game as well. And they were tweaking the grind, if you will, to make it more tedious, kind of like that thing that happened with Destiny years back,
mm-hmm.
when Bungie decided to lower the amount of XP you got so that you'd...
Oh, man, and so many people did the math on that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They were looking at those little numbers that were getting chipped off as they were hitting an enemy, and they're like,
yeah,
all right, and they were jotting them down, adding it up, and be like, there's a problem here. I mean, they mathed that thing.
Yeah, so basically it was just a thing they did where they just made the grind more tedious so that you would be more inclined to purchase these pickups. Mm-hmm. And then someone did an experiment in that game as well, and they played like multiple seasons going undefeated. And even doing that, they could not get enough points to get max level for their staff and their team.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was what was going on with them. So the monetization is what got people upset about got the reviews jacked up for Black Flag.
Yeah, they reversed that for the EA thing. Okay. As far as Black Flag, when they released the game, they also laid off a lot of people at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of typical. Which is kind of horrible to think about, but when you get, most of the time when you get hired onto a game, you're on some kind of contract.
Yeah, it's a contractual thing.
Yeah, where it's like, look, you're going to work until this game releases. Once it's done and released and you are of no need.
You're a temp, basically.
Yeah, your contract ends, you know, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. I don't think that is what these are.
Mm-hmm.
I think, sure, they did do that, but I also think they made layoffs, too.
Yeah.
Because if you look at everybody else, I mean, everybody else is throwing their employees through the wood chipper here, just at a rate of, we got to, you know, we got to cut dead weight, you know, the ship's sinking, and we got to lighten the load.
Yeah.
And they keep doing that. But Microsoft's the tough one, man. Microsoft letting go of so many people and yet putting more money into AI is just, it's just a weird one. It's like shooting yourself in the foot, man. And then complaining when it hurts to walk. I don't know. What else do we have? We've got about 5 minutes here. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. That old chestnut from Rocksteady Studios.
95% off, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could pick it up for $5 within the first year of its release.
So released at $100, ended up being dropped down to $5.
Like $100 for like the whole shebang of everything.
The whole kit and caboodle, everything.
It was $100. Yeah. And then by the time the year was almost near the end.
Yeah.
You could buy that thing, I know, for the holiday sale or whatever. It was $5.
$5.
For the whole thing.
Yeah, 95% off.
Yeah. Yeah. It was massive. Let's see. It cost Warner Brothers $200 million. I'm trying to... Two devs who worked on Suicide Squad retold the same story again in a recent interview with Bloomberg. And boy, does that development sound like hell. They're quoting here. There was definitely a sense when we first moved on to it. Arrogance is the wrong word, but a confidence that Armstrong says. We're coming back off hit after hit, the Batman games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course we'll be able to do this. But then came the slew of delays, which racked up the cost and the pressure for the game to make its money back. That's when I started feeling like I wasn't making games anymore, said one of the developers. I was following a spreadsheet. Some elusive marketing analysis spreadsheet that no one could present clearly. I kind of felt like this isn't the gaming industry I wanted to work in. It was a big culture shift. We put all these hours in, but it didn't feel like it was it was tangibly getting better. Everyone felt like they were having to run to stand still. To add to the stress, the devs were given ridiculous deadlines. 6 months isn't enough to do any fundamental changes, one of the devs said. That's just enough to just fix as many bugs as you can and see if you can squeeze in a bit of feature tweaks here and there. But in this time they were expected to fix everything and find the answers to questions like how many players can we reach with the feature and how can we twist the design into something to be more replayable? That's what the executives kept asking. It was all too much, and the unrealistic expectations and pressures of creating an infinite money machine disguised as a live service game was too much. I felt everything drained from me, one of the devs said. I said, I can't do this again. I don't know if I'm done with the industry, but I am done. I could feel myself coming apart at the seams. They ended up leaving Rocksteady and teaming up together to make Secret of Circadia, an RPG deck-building game that just had its Kickstarter release in hopes of raising $11,000 to help develop the game. I think as an industry, we're severely losing our way. It used to be passion projects that you loved and hoped other people would love too. When they did, it was such an amazing feeling. It became less and less of that. It became, let's hope it sells, or sells, let's hope we get money from it. The worst part of all of this, I don't think the suits learned their lesson. It feels like we've been saying this for a while, but games should be made out of love and passion, not because shareholders finally figured out they can make a quick buck from them. The powers that be should just learn to give talented developers and resources the resources and space they need to make cool stuff. Except it's not stuff, he said there. The formula for making good games is stupidly simple. A studio makes a game because they want to make a game they want to play themselves. That was Sven Vinke. He is the guy that works at Larian Studios, mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate 3. And I want to say the guys from Astrobot did the same thing when they won their game award. They came up to the stage and said, we just wanted to make a game that was fun for us to play. And it turns out that works.
What I've always said, man, give the gamers what they want and you'll have success.
That or give let the studio develop the game that they want to develop.
Yeah.
You know, let Rocksteady, especially with Rocksteady, man,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have to do what you did to them. You had a winning team.
Yeah, you said. I think you talked about how they had the formula set, and then someone got live service, and then changed the entire thing to fix to fit yeah. that fit that fit in that box.
Just let them do what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the PlayStation situation, and we'll talk about that and the Xbox massive job cut situation that we've already talked about. Nintendo, we're not going to leave them out either. We got some stuff about Nintendo in there as well. This is music that comes from Hot Wheels. Let's Race. It is the main menu music. And we'll be back with more. It's, so far, we've got two racing titles here. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Back to in-game chats. Those of you interested in the World Cup, second half is starting right now. It is tie game between England and Norway. So you got another 45 minutes to watch, or at least 45 minutes regular play.
Official time, yeah.
Yeah.
You got a lot of time for injuries and celebrations and whatnot.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Pulling for Norway. Anyway. Welcome to the show. yeah, so before, you know, before the whole Microsoft thing came around, which we knew was going to happen, we just didn't know how many. Mm-hmm. We knew some cuts were coming.
The bloodbath was coming.
Yeah, we knew that. We talked about it.
Yep.
We just didn't know when it was going to happen. Of course, it was. A lot of people expected it'll be the day after the 4th. That's somewhere around where the next quarter of financials starts or whatever it might be. I don't know, but figured, or that's the end of it, one or the other. So that was where it was going to happen, and that's where it did. But Sony came out, the week before and said that they're done, all new PlayStation games starting in 2028 will be digital. The game disc is going away, at least on PlayStation. Sony is set to end production of physical discs for all first-party and third-party PlayStation games on January 2028, according to the new PlayStation blog post. Games released prior to 2028 will continue to have physical versions, but everything that comes after will be digital only. This is a natural direction for Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt to consumer. This is a bunch of corporate bull stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. While the overwhelming majority of all new games are now sold digitally, many fans still prefer to own their games on discs. The end of discs doesn't necessarily preclude Sony and other companies from still selling game boxes in brick-and-mortar stores. They would just have a download code inside, similar to what we're getting from Grand Theft Auto 6. A question for you, RJ, because you are big into your physical media.
Yeah.
When you buy a physical game,
mm-hmm.
which you still do, most of the time, and we've talked about this, most of the time the game is not on that disc.
Mm-hmm.
There is a licensing code that is on that disc that allows you to download the game to your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So do you own a physical item or do you not own a physical item? In other words,
yeah.
that game is not there. You own a disc.
Yeah, I have a disc with a code.
But if they remove that game from their store,
pretty much the same thing.
You won't be able to play that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't aware of it at the time that you were talking about it, but then going into research about it, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Because games are, what, getting too big to fit on discs or whatever reason they give or whatever, but that's just what I've always liked, the physical aspects of the game.
Yeah, I get you.
I still have it. It's like having a backup of retention for it, but that's not the case with modern games now.
I was going to say, probably the majority of the games that you have, the game is on the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that you've got a lot of physical media that goes back a ways.
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot of games that actually do have their you could take that disc, put it into another machine, and it's going to play it because the content
is on
the
stuff is
the
on
disc.
The disc. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the case for a lot of games, you know. It was only recently here. Mm-hmm. Probably within near the end of last generation or middle of last generation in through this one.
I want to say the conversation started between when I picked up Mortal Kombat X, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was when the conversation was started when I picked that up. So, yeah.
It's just interesting that I get it. The fact that they are doing this it's a big deal. And there's a lot of people that aren't happy about this.
Yeah. I mean, especially with what happened with all those movies we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being taken off. I mean, you paid your money for that thing, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
That's the other thing. So if a license for a third-party title is on their store or in their data, I don't know what, in their database for whatever reason.
In the catalog or whatever.
Yeah. For whatever reason, they can pull that. They could do it with movies. They can do it with any kind of digital media entertainment that they want to do.
Yeah.
And so games are no exception of that. They can pull it. Even, and this is where it kind of changes, because a lot of people said, yeah, 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 but if you own it, you know, if you bought it and you downloaded it, you'll still be able to play it. Because on Steam, that works most of the time, where they delist something, but if you own it, you know, if you bought it and you own it, you can still play it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you haven't downloaded it, the game's still going to be on our servers. We're just not selling it anymore, which mm-hmm. means you can still play it. Sony has a different view on that, or at least in some cases, depending on rights and everything else, they will remove it from their servers, which means it is removed from your library as well.
You have no access to it anymore.
Right. And it doesn't matter if you've downloaded it or not. Now, maybe in a movie, I'm not sure, but even with a movie, I think that there is some sort of license check that goes through. And if it tries to check for a film that they have pulled from their store, it's not going to have a license to match up to, and so it won't let you play it.
Mm-hmm.
The movie. Game will be the same way. It's going to scan that code that's on the disc or that you have downloaded or whatever, the license that you have,
right,
is a unique code to you,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to check to say, do we have this code in our database? We don't have any codes in our database because this game has been removed. Well, then you can't play it. There was a time I would have said that's a drastic example. It's realistic, but it's drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, now it's more realistic than drastic from what they did with the films. They'll do it with the games, too, if they want to.
Yeah.
The weird part of this, and I know it's covered in, like, the end user license, the EULA,
mm-hmm.
the end user license agreement. I know whenever you buy the system or whenever you download the game or whenever you do anything online that requires a purchase, there is fine print somewhere sitting that says, hey, we got the right to remove this content at any point, for whatever reason, at any time, and you can't sue us for it. Somewhere in those papers exists that very small print that says that.
Yeah.
Or it says it in some way in probably a much better fashion than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So what that, again, going back to what that says, is that you don't own these things digitally. If you're talking about actual physical media, we have said this before, it contains a license on those discs so that you can download it. You don't even own that. If you were trying to sell, let's say you had a copy of, let's just say for the sake of argument.
How about Returnal?
Sure, Returnal.
Okay.
Returnal is a disc physical copy, you own it, and you're like, you know what, I want to sell it to this guy. He wants to buy it from me for 30, 25 bucks, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you want to eBay it or something.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make some money off of it. Well, if they pull it from the store, what you have physically is now worthless. You know? You could even take it to a shop and say, hey, man, I want to sell you this really classic. Let's say it's now 70 years from now. And you're like, I got this really classic game. There's nothing on that disc. There's nothing we can play. There's nothing on that disc. Which I assume that's what that is for Returnal. There's nothing there. There's no collector value to it. There's no reason to hang on to it, I guess, or whatever. It's now just a worthless piece of plastic.
It's a coaster.
Yeah. It's nice to have on a shelf to be like, here's my library that I cannot play anymore, but here it is, you know?
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, or to be fair, digital media does deteriorate over time regardless. I say digital media. Your digital discs, yeah. Your physical discs.
Physical discs, yes.
Your physical discs, all the data that's on those things, they over time, they do wear down. They eventually fade. They lose whatever. There's chemicals involved, and it eventually goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, over a period of time, you're going to lose that value anyway, but that's reaching into the extreme aspect of things.
Yeah.
It will take a while for that to happen, but you probably already have.
You try to find ways to back it up.
Yeah, there's that too.
There's that too, yeah.
But again, if you're trying to back it up, you mean move it on to a different disc?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that, or store it on a hard drive somewhere, or whatever you can do to do that. But
Norway just scored again, by the way.
and do whatever, but yeah. Yeah, I was saying off the air about how this whole situation is making me pause for thought on what to do in the future. I mean...
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Is there any difference between that new PlayStation, that new Xbox with no... disc than what I can do in a PC? You've turned those consoles into basically a less sophisticated PC.
Yeah, in a sense there is, only for the fact that, you know, depending on exclusives, you won't have access to those. You know, yeah. What I mean? Like, in other words, is there any difference between those and your PC only in the type of games you get to play? Or I say yeah. Type, but only in the names of some of the games you
yeah,
get to
I'm
play.
Yeah, I would if I go that route, that would be loss of access to certain titles. Yeah, sure, but I guess time will tell how big of a loss that is.
Well, that's the same thing. Sony has said that they're going to stop releasing their first party titles on PC now. Probably doesn't that doesn't necessarily affect you until Sony comes up with a really good fighting game. But it's hardly likely that'll ever happen.
No. Don't see it. I mean, with the genres that I play, I mean, I'm trying to think of any good Sony exclusive games that I've picked up. I did pick up God of War because it was like a plus thing going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, do you have to pay a fee to pay a play online on Steam?
No.
Oh. So that would be a reason to get rid of PlayStation
yeah.
Plus.
There is no... There
the
is no
down the line.
Yeah, there's no window to multiplayer on that. There is if it is something like World of Warcraft. You
yeah,
know,
subscription.
You got to pay yeah. a subscription fee.
Yeah, some games are subscription, yeah. But to just play online with... your friends.
But like
friends,
Destiny is yeah. free to play, so you could do that.
That yeah.
Rocket League is free to play, so you could do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be free to play. You know, Dead by Daylight or whatever those games are where you play in a multiplayer type mm-hmm. setting are absolutely, you know, the game, you pay the price for the game and then you can get in there and play. You don't
well,
have to pay yeah, a subscription
I think about,
fee.
Well, I'll think about Virtua Fighter Revo and Street Fighter VI playing online because a lot of folks who were in the leagues that I was in,
yeah,
most of the players are on Steam right now.
Yeah. So. Real quick update, that goal got rescinded, so it's still tied now.
Mm.
I don't know what happened, but they pulled the point away. So mm.
Someone acted.
Oh. Was it a foul?
Flop.
Or a flop, yeah. Anyway, so Sony is getting rid. They're getting in that. Companies respond to Sony's decision to end disc support. We are profoundly disappointed. This is a move all about profitability and control. I'll eventually get there. With Sony preparing to end physical disc production in 2028, analysts say there will be quite a few knock-on effects beyond just the straightforward no more physical PlayStation games. For one, analysts say the PlayStation 6 and the Project Helix are almost certain to launch with no disc drive at all. We've talked about that. That will leave players with large libraries of physical games for previous consoles totally unable to play them on the new systems. The director of research and insights at Nico Partners, Daniel Ahmed, said that 70 million physical PlayStation games were sold last year. Around 500 million have been sold during the current generation. That's no small amount. Analysts suggest this could lead Sony to try various methods of helping gamers bring their collections forward, such as an add-on disc drive or some type of disc-to-digital conversion program. Maybe. Outside of putting the disc into something, letting it register that license to your system so that then you can go to the store and download it. I don't know, but you have to somehow have a disc that can, you have to read that disc.
Yeah. We're gonna,
if you're launching a console that has no disc drive,
what's the point?
How do you do that?
Yeah. No discs on our systems, but we're going to offer you a disc drive for a small fee. To add on to your system.
Yeah, it says the former of those will almost certainly cost money, and the latter might too, which is likely going to frustrate PlayStation gamers further. Rumors and reports circulating that the next PlayStation could cost as much as $1,000 combined with its lack of backward compatibility for physical games might be a deal-breaker for Sony, for many, if Sony can't find a way to ease the transition. Skipping physical games gives Sony significant extra margin on its software. As things stand now, it's expensive for companies to make physical games. Fewer and fewer people are buying them, and when they do, publishers are making less money off them than they'd like. Various analysts I spoke to gave me slightly different figures and metrics on this, all pointing to the same conclusion. An analyst at Ampere Analytics shared data saying that only 13% of total full game unit sales were digital when the PS4 launched in 2013. In 2025, that had gone up to 80%. Ahmed noted the share was 85% in Sony's most recent quarter and that Xbox digital sales were around the 90% mark. James McWhorter at O-Media countered that Sony's percentage translated to around 75 million physical games sold last year, a not insignificant number, that the company certainly hopes to translate into digital sales that it can make more revenue on per copy sold. Because it is so much more expensive to produce a physical game, they estimate that PlayStation makes roughly 50% more revenue when selling a first-party game digitally than they do physically. Because they're skipping the middleman. Mm-hmm. It is directly from them. They don't have to go through the process of making the discs, distributing the game, the discs, mm-hmm. Going through all that stuff. It's added on cost when you release physical media.
Mm-hmm.
Except while you would think that, okay, they don't have to include the cost of packaging, shipping, distributing, pressing the discs. They don't have to do that cost. So the digital version is going to be without that, right?
No.
No.
The digital version cost about the same.
Yeah, those savings ain't going to the consumer. No.
No.
No. So, yeah.
You look right now and you will find a game in a store costs about the same as it's going to cost digitally. Maybe there's a $10 difference, maybe five. This is regardless of sales. I'm not including sales.
Yeah, you can go like a Walmart, Target, any place like that, any brick and mortar place that sells games. You're going to see the physical version sitting there, and then you're going to see the digital version more.
About the same price or more, yeah.
Yeah, more. Like, let's take Grand Theft Auto Online right now. They split it. I didn't realize they split it. They had the story mode and the online mode separate.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy each one for like, if I'm not mistaken, $20 each, right?
Right.
When it was together, you know, it was like $20 at like Walmart,
mm-hmm.
but it was still $40 on the PlayStation Store digitally because they both versions included the game and the online part. The physical one did, but the one that was together on the PlayStation Store was more.
I remember, and I don't remember what game it was, but I remember talking about it here. Mm-hmm. This is going back a ways, but I remember saying to you or whoever was listening, you know, on the air,
mm-hmm.
that there was some game I was looking to buy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I kind of want to go pick it up from the store, but at the same time, I'm kind of lazy. I don't want to have to change my disc. I want it to just be there on my system so that at any point I can just start playing it and not worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not think I got to get up, let me find the disc, put the disc in and play it next time I want to and just have it right there. It's like, I kind of want to pay extra for that convenience because at the time, buying it online digitally was more, cost more. And I want to say it was a PlayStation game too, cost more than it did physically. And I wanted the convenience of digital so that I didn't have to have a disc to have to put into the system.
Yeah, I think I've said it before here that the amount, it's amazing what people pay for convenience
mm-hmm.
On certain things. Yeah,
but that convenience, the whole thing's just going away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're going to stop selling discs for their PlayStation, then it's going to be all digital anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect them to drop that price. If anything, now they can increase it. They have, there's no
more profits.
Well, yeah, they're not battling the resale market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not having to battle the resale market. If it's exclusive, then that's even worse. It's like, we'll put whatever number we want there. Mm-hmm. And if you want to play it, that's the only way you'll have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get it. They're going to make more money off of it this way, but, oh, gosh. Y'all, it's a bleak future we're headed into as far as gaming is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bleak, bleak future that we are headed into with this.
Yeah. But in the end, like all products, the market's going to determine how long that price holds, man.
They went radio silent on their social media after they announced they went for over a week, 6 days.
Yeah.
6 days. Without, once they released that note on their social media about like, hey, we're going to stop doing the discs, they were silent for 6 days. Didn't post anything, didn't retweet, didn't do anything.
It reminds me of announcements like someone makes a bad announcement, then runs off the stage
as quick as they can.
That
was it.
So, yeah.
They kind of made the announcement and then they were like, all right, everybody be quiet. If we don't say anything, they won't think we're here. They'll leave us alone. They didn't say anything. And then when they finally came back, they got roasted.
Mm-hmm.
The first post that they had done in 6 days, people were giving them the business.
Yeah, I think they announced a controller or something. They just said a new product
mm-hmm.
that they're putting out, and their responses was not about the product.
No. I mean, the internet let them have it, which is what's going to happen when you're dealing with that. But yeah.
Yeah, I think they're just going to weather the storm. That's all.
Sony PlayStation 6 is now estimated to cost over $900 in materials alone, signaling a launch price tag double that of the PlayStation 5. And then we have what kind of PS6 could justify a $1,000 price tag?
That Steam machine?
Yeah, I'm trying to see what he's got here. It says, first time anything even vaguely PS6 related has essentially been no discs, suck it up, losers, which feels rather like the console equivalent of a botched gender reveal party that sets a nearby forest on fire, but at least gives us the broad outlines of a timeline. Signs are pointing to Sony sticking to its late 2027 timeline, but the state of hardware industry is suggesting that a PS6 launching in that time frame will cost at least $1,000. That price point would be a hard sell at any time. But this is arguably a tougher situation than most because there's no obvious technological step up that the PS6 can take advantage of as its major selling point. The past few generations have benefited enormously from having a key technology that made them markedly different to their predecessor. For the PS5, it was the very fast SSD, while support for HD and then 4K resolutions were also major reasons to upgrade hardware at previous transitions. The PlayStation 6 hardware can offer a major bump in graphical performance, of course, but diminishing returns on graphical fidelity updates have kicked in hard in recent years. While the PS5 will be 7 years old at that point, it will be hard to convince even fairly devoted customers to upgrade quickly if all that involves is swapping one box under the TV for another and spending plus $1,000 to buy some more ray tracing and better FSR upscaling. So what might a PS6 that can get the market interested enough to overlook its huge price point actually look like? I don't claim to have any inside line here, but logically speaking, Sony must be thinking hard about how to clearly and dramatically delineate the PS6 from its predecessor, making it not so much into an incremental upgrade, hard sell at $1,000, but a brand new, exciting, must-have gaming platform. There are a few things, circumstantial though they may be, which suggest that a new form factor might be part of Sony's solution to that problem. Making such a clean break from physical media and making a point of announcing it 18 months in advance could hint at the new system not just lacking a disk drive by default, but actually not being suitable for attaching a drive to it at all. A digital-only console by necessity as much as desire. That would make particular sense if the PS6 is a move towards some kind of handheld or a semi-portable form factor. There's been some chatter about that. It could also help to solve another hardware-related problem that's been an open question about PS6. Assuming it follows the expected evolutionary upgrade path, just how big would this thing be? The PS5 is a beast of a machine. You probably realized that when you pulled yours out of the box. Mm. I know when I pulled my PS5 out of the box, like the box was whatever. When I pulled it out of the box, I was like, holy crap, this thing is massive. Like, it was the size of the box. It was huge.
Yeah.
Pulling it out of the box, even though you should think that whatever you're about to pull out of this box is about this size, it still surprised me how massive this thing was when I took it out of the box.
Yeah, I'll give you the weight on that thing with that drive.
Yeah.
With the drive, because I got the disk drive version.
Yeah, so, same thing.
Getting the weight of that thing was significant. And then when I had to put like a frame on there for it to sit on the side, like mm-hmm. Sit properly on my console or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a bulky thing. It's like the PS4, I can just pick up one handed, take all the cables out one hand, no problem. But the PS5, you want to be a little more careful with that.
Yeah, this guy says that anything larger would be a very tough sell to a lot of households. While chipsets have become more efficient in the intervening years, by and large, the scaling laws are unforgiving. You want more teraflops, you need more watts and more cubic centimeters for cooling. High-end PC graphics cards alone occupy about half the volume of the modern console. Yeah, the graphics cards are massive for your PCs. They're mm-hmm. huge. So yeah, could be a form factor thing. We don't know. Depends what whatever. But still, I don't know that any of that justifies the price of the PS. What justifies the price is the price of the components they're putting in there. Mm. You know, I don't think they're going to build this thing and say, okay, let's sell it for a profit of $100. You know, let's sell it for $100 more than what we got. You know, they could. I don't know that they will because the price is already going to be so high.
Mm.
But like I said earlier, like if it's, you know, what's another $50?
Yeah,
if you're spending that much money, what's another $50? Mm-hmm. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll touch on Microsoft again and their big bloodbath that they did this week. Huge cuts in jobs. Here's music from Plants vs. Zombies Replanted. That was a remake, I guess, that came out in October. Fun game. I haven't played PvZ in a while. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Just to give you an update, still tied. Norway, England, still tied in the World Cup.
Almost wasn't for a second then.
They got like 13, about 12 and a half minutes to go in regular play with a tie. And by the way, I don't know anything as far as like who would advance if it was just if it ends at a tie.
Yeah, we don't have a bracket here, so.
Yeah, I don't know what the goal differential and all that other stuff is.
Oh, probably penalty kicks at this point.
I don't know. I don't know how they do that.
But, I think at this point, someone's going home with a win. I don't think there's going to be ties at this point. I'm guessing, but yeah. Because the last few matches have been penalty kicks if there were ties.
Really?
They're going to get a winner out of this.
Whoa. Sorry. I got to stop looking at that. I'll never get back to talking about games if I don't. Thar had a question here. I wonder if they will reverse this if the backlash doesn't die down.
No.
I don't see them reversing this at all.
No. Someone crunched the numbers and it looks too good and the profits look too right. So yeah.
Right. And also understand that they have probably decided already that the next system will not have a disk drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? We can't do the disk drive anymore.
And think about this, the cost of backtracking at this point.
I know.
It is too much. So
yeah, I know. There's hope. And I mean, look, Sony could, but the people that run Sony right now are not the same people that were running Sony whenever that. You remember early in PlayStation 3 when they had a breach in the PlayStation Network?
Mm-hmm.
There was this, and we saw the Sony executives during a press conference do that bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing this and seeing the cameras going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
During that bow, because it was a bow of shame.
Mm-hmm.
It was shame. It was apologetic. It was this: we feel shame and we are extremely sorry for what happened with the PlayStation Network or whatever it was. I can't remember. It was PlayStation 3 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened, and I think the system was down for like a month. It was a huge, huge deal. But I'm telling you now, I don't think those same people work at Sony anymore. I don't think that they do. But yeah, let's move on to Microsoft because there ain't nothing good going over there either.
Like we said, it was all bad news again.
They did a reset and they lost, well, we told you, they got rid of what, 3,000 jobs?
3,000 plus folks who've gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, let's see, every studio that was affected by all of this. Oh, God, there's a table of contents. Compulsion Games. They are now allowed to become independent along with their IP catalog and runway for their next game. These are the South of Midnight guys, We Happy Few, and Contrast. Great studio. Love them. I don't know what's going to happen, but they are allowed to now do, you know, if they can handle it, they can just be independent.
Yep.
Do it themselves. And they're going to try and do that. Double Fine. They went back to being an independent game. Their IP, their catalog, and the runway for their next games all allowed for them to keep, and you guys can go. You just got to, you know, you got to be an independent studio. And that's tough sometimes. Ninja Theory, we talked about this. They showed off the next Senua game in the hopes that somebody might be interested in buying the company.
Hmm.
That didn't come out until later, because when we heard that that Ninja Theory was on the block for being cut, we're like, well, what about the game? Well, you know, if somebody sees that and wants to come and buy the studio, we'd be happy to give it to them. You know, we'd be happy to sell it to them.
Mm-hmm.
They entered terms to join new ownership with funding to complete and grow Senua. That's how it's been affected. Undead Labs, working on State of Decay. Again, State of Decay 3 is still coming out, but they are on the chopping block. They have entered terms to join new ownership with funding to complete and grow State of Decay 3. Arcane Lion, they're the guys that did Deathloop, Dishonored, Prey, Redfall, and they were currently working on the next Marvel's Blade game. How it has been affected, the studio's management is beginning required consultation with its works council to review potential strategic options. I don't know how that translates out of corporate speak, but yeah. Activision, they have had reductions and shifting investment to focus on higher priority projects. Blizzard, They've also had reductions in shifting investment to focus on higher priority projects. The staff of Blizzard Entertainment were told today that they won't hear how the reorganization impacts them until further communications. Bethesda, ZeniMax, they are the ones that did Fallout and Doom and Elder Scrolls and Quake, and they have the reductions thing again. They are cutting a significant number of staff, according to Bloomberg, with reports suggesting around half of each studio's workforce has been let go. King, the ones that did Candy Crush, reductions and shifted investment to focus on higher priority projects. Mojang, Minecraft, they have had reductions and shifted investment to focus on, so that's what we got so far of those cuts. Outer Worlds 2 studio was hit hard by layoffs. IO Interactive regains ownership of Project Fantasy following their split from Xbox. There was some finger pointing. Seemingly. We're still 1-1. We're still 1-1. Xbox CEO Asha Sharma has made a number of big changes since taking over from former chief Phil Spencer. Some of them collectively represent a clear reputation of Xbox's choices under Spencer. In an interview with Fortune, she said that Xbox spread itself too thin under its previous strategy. Basically, the guy before me really just kind of ruined it, is what she's saying. In order to grow, we made a bunch of bets. And as we did that, we inherently didn't focus on the core business. The number one measure of your strategy is what you put your resources behind, and we simply spread ourselves too thin. This interview was published on the same day that she announced the 3,200 layoffs at Xbox and the spinoff of four of its studios. She also returned to one of her key points in that layoff announcement, that the Xbox business is not healthy. A healthy Xbox could weather the shock of the hardware crisis, she said in the interview. With an unhealthy Xbox, it becomes really challenging, and it accelerates a lot of the changes that we need to make. The health reference presumably means that with better profit margins, Xbox would be also be in a would be better to absorb the hit of what is called the Rampocalypse, which is the price of RAM and how much it is going up, which is being caused by Microsoft in part for the money they're investing in AI.
Yeah. I was about to say, saying she's one that putting all the changing the resources to AI for this division.
Yeah. Regardless of the health of the Xbox, component prices are astronomically high and likely to get worse, and that impacts everyone. Material cost alone for the next PlayStation, which we said was around $900, and the cheapest Steam machine you could buy is over $1,000. That's an enormous amount of money for a game console. True Xbox optimists might imagine that Microsoft could use the wider profit margins Sharma aspires to in order to bring prices down to a less eye-watering level, and sure, it could, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Sharma said Xbox executives are also experimenting with new business models, such as buy now, pay later financing programs for the next Xbox, which will nominally reduce the barrier to entry. But speaking as someone with a bit of experience in the retail electronics field, may also leave customers who don't read the fine print and sufficiently mind their money burdened with a far heavier debt than they expected. However it shakes out, Sharma said the process is going to take time and hinted at the possibility of more unpleasantness ahead, saying, I think our core has to be healthy, and that will be necessary, but not sufficient. So there is still more in store for ye old Xbox. What else do we have? The id Software, the guys that make Doom and everything. The Revelations expansion for Doom the Dark Ages. It finally arrived this week with a 10-hour campaign aimed at hardcore series veterans. The day before it launched, roughly half the studio was invited to a conference call to be told they were getting laid off. The scale of the cuts was devastating and has left many worried about how id Software can continue and confused about Xbox's plans for the future. The software company had come away relatively unscathed in the previously mass layoffs, but not the ones that happened on July the 6th. Marty Stratton, the studio head, wrote in the office Slack for people not to come into work that day. An hour later, the meeting invites arrived. Some were still commuting through Dallas traffic when they tried to log into the brief call to hear Stratton say that their roles had been eliminated. It wasn't their fault or a reflection on them. that they were part of the 3,200 layoffs across Xbox happening over the next 12 months, he said in remarks that lasted less than a few minutes. While feelings of betrayal were to be expected, more surprising was the realization of just how bad the studio had been hit. Even employees who had been there for decades were suddenly being cut loose. Jerry Keehan, a designer going back to 2004, Doom 3, was one of the ones let go. There was a confirmation of 158 layoffs at Xbox subsidiary ZeniMax Media from across the state. That's in Texas, by the way. 96 of those layoffs happened at the id Software office in Richardson, where the studio has been located since 2011, with an additional 40 remote staff who report there let go as well. While earlier claims said that only one person is left on the id Tech Engine team in Texas, Microsoft has said this is false. There are dozens of people working on id Tech across multiple locations. Reports that there's only one person left in Texas are inaccurate. One source said they weren't sure how the studio could even patch the game engine without being forced to call someone who had just been laid off. The institutional knowledge is just not there, they claimed. Id Tech, as a technology, is probably dead forever. Id Software currently does not have any new games greenlit since Revelations has been released. There was, at one point, an incubation project called Fury that involved John Wick-style melee action in first person. But concepts for the next game have kept shifting and are still up in the air. Two sources said there were also plans kicked around for potential multiplayer DLC for Doom the Dark Ages, but that's not clear if those will still be pursued either. Yeah, it's unclear what's going to happen there with them. These are big studios that are just being gutted and cut.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that id Tech thing. Was it possibly there is only one person, but the other people working are just people who've been repurposed from something else?
Likely.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot like what happened with I say it's a lot like, but it's similar, I guess, to what happened with Bungie. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, we've got the people we need to work on Marathon now, and we're done with Destiny, so we don't need any of you guys anymore. Half of the studio gone. It's like, we can run Marathon on half of this. You know, we had two studios, one working on the Destiny side of things, the other working on Marathon. Well, Destiny's done. Marathon is it now. We're keeping that group, and we're getting rid of you Destiny folks. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was some overlap, but still. It was 300-400 people that were let go. So, it's bleak. It's depressing. It's not hopeful for a future at all. In gaming, and I'm not just talking about id, I'm talking about the whole situation with Microsoft's layoffs, with PlayStation eliminating discs, which, you know, Dave brought up something that I meant to, Dave is listening and sent me a text, but he brought up something that I also forgot about, is that, I mean, this will trickle down. First off, Sony was a big proponent, like, when you talked about the format wars, you were talking about HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. Blu-ray, Sony owned Blu-ray. They owned that patent or whatever for the Blu-ray disc. They're not going to make any more movies on Blu-ray. You know what I'm saying? If they're eliminating making games on discs, they're eliminate making movies on discs. You already kind of are, for the most part. I have no idea how many people are out there buying physical discs movies. I know you are, but I'm just saying the percentage of how much is sold digitally to compared to how much is sold physically. You know. In that space, music was the forebearer of all of this. You don't have music stores anymore. Well, you have vinyl stores now, but you don't have music stores anymore.
The retro style collectible part of music coming back. Yeah,
nobody's selling CDs, man. When was the last time you walked into a Best Buy? Probably recent, but when was the last time you walked into a Best Buy?
They only do it online, basically.
I know, but
I haven't walked in physically probably years.
Well, the next time you walk into a Best Buy physically, try and find the music section. Better yet, try and find the movie section.
There's not one in Target. I know that.
Yeah.
Target got rid of its movies section.
I think Best Buy did the same thing, with the exception of like Steelbooks or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the movie section used to be row upon row, man. You would go. There was just, and same thing with music. It used to be these tables of just nothing but CDs, all over the place. And those shrank and got rid of. The movie section, there was like, you know, TV shows, your movies, all this stuff, all DVDs, Blu-rays, and all that. Just a ton was there. And over time, it shrank and shrank and shrank and shrank. And eventually, it just became this floating kiosk near the open, near the front door of the store that just had, here's our selection. You know, you came in for the new releases, and if you didn't get it that week or the week after, chances are your chances would go away.
Yeah.
People stopped buying them, so they're going to stop making them. So it's all, I mean, when I talk about trickle down, it's going to trickle down into other things. Physical media will be one of those, not just physical gaming media, but physical media in general will be one of those things. Books will be safe. You know, for the most part, I think.
About to say, you say that. But.
I know. Well, that's the other thing. Of course, you don't walk. I mean, bookstores have all but disappeared for the most part. Now, there's independent bookstores. That's a completely different thing. Independent video game stores. But your big book retailer stores, man, they're going away as well. Because people can buy them online. Whether they're physical or digital, people can buy them online. I don't think the whole digital library thing, the whole e-ink stuff, I don't think that it caught on as much as they hoped it would. Mm-hmm. It caught on enough to keep it going, but I don't think it caught on like, here's the future, we can get rid of all these books now, you know, these physical books. I just don't think that happened. So anyway. Ah, man.
I'm still thinking what Asha Sharma was saying about getting, how exactly she's going to get the... Xbox healthy.
Yeah, more cuts. I don't think they're done with these layoffs.
Yeah.
I really don't think they're done with these layoffs.
If the priority is raising profit by way of you know, getting folks to spend more on the titles and things like that, or like we talked about a while back, like set advertisements in game, things like that, all types of things that I'm sure the customer base ain't gonna like.
That's what I was gonna say. Whatever they do to close that gap is not going to be beneficial to the consumer or the developer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not gonna be good for the people making the game, and it's not gonna be good for the people buying the game.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we gotta go because this game's almost over with. But so is the show. The show's almost over with. We'll be back next week with hopefully some good news. Maybe, I don't know. Just doesn't seem like we're ever going to get there. So you guys have a fantastic week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, have a good one. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music. We're in October. Hard to believe that this game came out just in October. It's not even a year old. But Ark Raiders, a game that's just, you know, been amazing as far as the online looter shooter type thing that it's done.
Satisfying its gamer base.
Exactly.
Sure.
It's the lobby music from the game. So you guys have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Thanks for watching and listening.